The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Let's get you caught up on last night's playoff action. Hi, Wendy. Philly certainly missing Joel Embiid, falling in a 2-0 hole in Miami. A 16-point loss last night as the series now shifts to Philadelphia. There was hope that Embiid might be able to return for Game 3. Doc Rivers does not seem too optimistic about that possibility.
I really don't know. I honestly, we talked yesterday. We talked today. You know, new generation FaceTime. I don't know why they FaceTime, but... He looked good as far as talking, but there's no he's got so many steps to go through. I don't think he's cleared any of them right now. So we just have to wait and see.
Brian Windhorst, good to see you, sir. Wendy, tell me this. Is this series over even if Embiid returns? Because I'm hearing things about reservations in Miami already.
Well, the thing, Miami actually was a little bit vulnerable because Kyle Lowry is out with the hamstring injury, and we're not sure when he's going to be able to come back in this series, if at all. So I guess just because I've seen 20 years of the NBA, I wouldn't say for sure because I've seen things change really fast. But if Embiid can't play in Game 3, and if Doc was being 100% truthful and honest about what he said there, where he hasn't cleared the steps, because forget about the orbital fracture, there's concussion protocol steps that you cannot rush. And if I'm taking him literally at his word, I think it would be difficult for Joel to get cleared in time for 3, and no one's coming back from 3-0. So I don't think the Sixers are equipped to win 4 out of 5 against the Heat unless Embiid is a really strong aspect of it, even without Kyle Lowry. So they're in big trouble, and they're in big trouble, especially when this offseason comes, because how low is it going to go for the casinos when the over-under on James Harden? They got the over-under all the way down to 23 for him, 23 points for him last night. He still didn't hit the over. The casinos are reacting, I think, almost like the Sixers. How low is this going to go down? And at this point, James Harden is really a supporting player to a guy like Tyrese Maxey. And if you don't have Embiid and Harden is now becoming like a supporting player, seeing you win 4 out of 5, it's just a big ask.
Wendy's such a nice guy. He says, it's good to see you, buddy. He's such a, people don't realize how much of a nice guy. I mean, he's got that, you know, that nice little chubby face, that lovable face. He's like,
you know what I was thinking? Hold on, I gotta say one thing. Wendy, you have great skin.
He does.
When you were saying you could 20 years of covering the NBA, I'm like,
That's right.
No wrinkles. I'm jealous.
Here comes the other shoe.
I'm jealous.
No, not for me.
I'm jealous, but I used to be more jealous until I found my dermatologist. Dr. Engleton, you the one, girl. You the one, my Dr. Engleton. She's a fabulous dermatologist. I mean, can't you tell? But anyway, let's go back to the main stuff right here, okay? Here's the deal, Wendy. You're such a nice guy. You really, really are. Because this is over. All right, my reservations are made for South Beach.
Yeah.
I mean, let me be very, very clear. I know where I'm staying. Okay. I know when I'm going. I mean, this is what it is, okay? This is what it is. Now, we'll give the Philadelphia 76ers credit for this. If Joel Embiid were there, I think they'd have a real big-time shot to win this series. I think it would be a pick-em based on what I've seen for the first 2 games alone. Joel Embiid would have made that kind of profound difference. And with the way Maxey showed up last night, the things that James Harden is doing in terms of being deferential and having somebody to defer to, I think all of those things would have helped. And I think that the Philadelphia 76ers would have had a big-time bona fide shot of winning this series. But now Miami is up 2-0. So what you're talking about is a Philadelphia 76ers squad that has to win 4 of the next 5 games, assuming a series were to go 7, in order to win this series. That ain't happening. We're talking about about Joel Embiid being questionable for game three. I personally think there's a shot that he'll be there because he knows the season is on the line. They ain't coming back from an 0-3 deficit. So to me, if he doesn't play in game three, then he's really finished. Because game three would be back in Philadelphia would be the time to come back. If we don't see him for game three, I don't think we're going to see him for game four. Because it's going to be over if they go down 0-3. That's just how I feel about it, okay? But right now, when we look at the Miami Heat, they just seem to just turn it on with the Philadelphia 76ers, particularly when they choose. You go up in the first half, you up 12 or 13. Then Philadelphia catches up. They might even take a lead at halftime. Then they come back and they turn it on again. It's like they seem to be up and down, because I don't know if they're taking Philadelphia as seriously as they should, because they know there's no Embiid out there. So they turn on the afterburners, they get a lead, and then after that, they lag off a little bit. And then when Philadelphia makes it interesting, they say, okay, let's stop playing games and let's close this deal out right now. I think that's what we've witnessed thus far in these first two games. I think that is what we will continue to witness. It'll be a little bit different because the crowd in Philadelphia will be hyped, ready to support their team. But I hope I'm wrong, because I'm rooting for Doc Rivers and what have you. But I don't see, without Embiid, this team having any chance to win anything in this series. And certainly, even if Embiid comes back, you're asking them to win four of a possible remaining five games of this series against Miami. I don't see that happening either.
Wendy, let me get your take on something else here. So Harden, age 32, obviously not putting up the points we're accustomed to seeing from him in the past. And he can become a free agent after the season, also can opt into the final year of his deal at $47.4 million, or the Sixers can offer him a max deal, 5 years, $270 million, or he can seek another max deal from another team. So tell me this, should any team offer him a max at this point?
Yeah, so I think right now I would say it's extraordinarily likely that Harden's picking up that option and then negotiating with the Sixers on what sort of deal it's going to be. And so the real issue here is Harden still a max player for anybody? And if you are expecting him to be the Harden of 3 years ago, and that's what a max player is, I just don't know if that's a responsible way to look at it. If you're Philly, I'm wondering if a responsible way to look at this is, our lead player is Joel Embiid. Our second star is going to be Tyrese Maxey. And James, can we find a contract for you that values you as a supporting star, as a third option? Like, and I know that would be borderline insulting to a guy who was an MVP candidate just really 2 years ago. But I think that's the reality. And if you think of James Harden as a veteran table-setting point guard who can get you, you know, some points some nights and other nights be your third scoring option while setting Embiid and Maxey up, it feels a lot more palatable. James Harden on a contract that's, you know, 3 years, 100, 3 years, $110 million in the $30 to $35 million range, that's more palatable than James Harden struggling to score 20 points a game on a regular basis, making $50 million a year, $55 million a year on a max. And so if that's, I mean, that's not the worst thing for Philly. I mean, when you look at what has happened with Ben Simmons, especially the news that Ben Simmons now has to have surgery, if you reframe this trade as you traded two first-round picks and, Seth Curry for sort of a number three, that's not so bad. So the real question becomes, if that's the way the Sixers approach Harden, and Stephen A., I think that's really the fair-minded way they'd have to look at this. Is there another team out there this summer that would say, no, he's still a max player to us. James, come here with us. We'll still give you a max and make Philly come to the table. And that is really going to be the game of chicken that's going to happen, Stephen A., especially since at this moment, I don't believe James even has an agent. I believe he's serving as his own agent. So when this series is over, whether it's in two games or whether it's in four, the James Harden negotiation is going to be a huge storyline coming into this summer, not just for Philly, but for any team who could say, maybe we could poach him if they're not willing to pay.
James Harden is not a max player anymore. Can we just get that out the way? Can we just do that for our audience here right now? Let's just stop it, okay? We respect James Harden. We know that James Harden has been great for years. A lot of it can be deduced to health issues. He wanted out of Houston, and he was determined to get out of Houston. So when they initially told him no, he came in out of shape, overweight, and obviously had to work himself into shape once he got traded to Brooklyn. In the process of doing so, he acquired a hamstring injury. He was never able to fully recover. Otherwise, Milwaukee wouldn't have won the title last year because Kevin Durant and Brooklyn would have beat that Milwaukee team. Maybe this Milwaukee team now as a season champion is better. But last year when they were trying to learn how to win, Kevin Durant, size 13 instead of size 12 or whatever it was, all right, stepping on the line and hitting a 2 instead of a 3, you know, allowed Milwaukee to survive and ultimately win that game in overtime. And as a result, the Brooklyn Nets missed out on it. And Kevin, and since Kyrie had injured his ankle, James Harden, you know, came out there with a bad hamstring and tried to give it all he's got, and he deserves props for that. He comes to Philadelphia this year, okay? Even though he looked a bit stealth, like he had gotten himself in shape, he's never looked the same since he put on that weight because he was trying to get out of Houston. And it's come back to bite him because one could easily argue it has compromised his health. This is a guy, Wendy, and you know what I'm about to say here. James Harden has not attempted 20 shots in a game since he arrived in Philadelphia. Does anybody really, anybody believe that? Did anybody, I mean, this is James Harden we're talking about here. James Harden, one of the most prolific scorers we have ever seen in the history of the NBA, has not even attempted 20 shots since he has arrived in Philly.
He can't get open, Stephen.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is not about a selection. That is not about being deferential to Joel Embiid. He can't get open. He can't create separation. And that is the reason why he has not attempted 20 shots or more since he has arrived in Philadelphia. In the last 14 games, we are talking about a guy that went like 6 or 7 straight years, averaging a minimum of 29 points a game. James Harden has not scored 25 points in a game for the last 14 games. This is James Harden we're talking about here. This is James Harden. And so let me tell you something right now. When you look at it from that perspective, yeah, you might have somebody like Mike D'Antoni lurking in the background saying this wouldn't happen if he was playing for me. You understand? You might have somebody like Daryl Morey, who's a big-time executive, and we all respect the hell out of Daryl Morey, but we know that he, you know, he caters to his stars, and he believes in a guy like James Harden. Plus, he wants to validate the trade that he made. So now Doc Rivers' future is up in, you know, is in jeopardy because you got to make James, you got to do everything you can to make James Harden look good, but it ain't about Doc Rivers. It ain't about Joel Embiid. It ain't about Daryl Morey. It ain't about the emergence of Tyrese Maxey. It's about the fact that James Harden is a step slower and has trouble gaining the separation that he once could easily gain. And as a result, he can't get off enough shots to average anywhere close to the points that he used to average. When you take those things into consideration, that means you're not a max player. Period. Doesn't mean he's a scrub. Doesn't mean he can't play. Doesn't mean he can't help you win. Doesn't mean he needs to come off the bench and doesn't deserve to be a starter. We're not going to disrespect him like that. But he's not the superstar player that he once was that requires the max. Now, maybe if he gets himself in shape, gets a strength and conditioning coach, Wendy, and dedicates himself, you know, maybe he gets on that diet or that, you know, a culinary program that CP3 is on where it's plant-based and he ain't eating food, eating meat and all of this other stuff. And he's bragging about how other dudes need ice, but he doesn't. You know, all I shouldn't say bragging because he was just letting the brother know. Yeah. He wasn't bragging. He was actually informing me to make me better. So I appreciate that. He wasn't bragging. But my point is maybe that's what the situation is. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is James Harden, unless we are looking at a dude that's simply and not that's not in great shape, and that could be rectified by a strength and conditioning coach and a program that gets him, that elevates his level of quickness or whatever, the James Harden that we have seen in Philly is not a max player. It's just that simple.
I want to get to CP3 because clearly he's still got it. As you said earlier, the point guard, what a show last night, fellas. The Suns taking a commanding 2-0 series lead on the Mavs last night behind another CP3 fourth quarter takeover. He had 28 points, 14 in the fourth. And Stephen A., I know you are all in on the Warriors, and rightfully so. Mm-hmm. But this Suns team looks ready and poised to make a run.
Yes, they do. I can't deny it. They look big time. Now, that wasn't necessarily the case against New Orleans. But remember, Booker missed about 2.5 games of that series. And New Orleans got some young thoroughbreds with size. Dallas is actually an easier matchup for Phoenix than New Orleans because of the absence of size, athleticism, and quickness that they have on Dallas compared to New Orleans, as far as I'm concerned, Wendy. But let me say this. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Paul was something special. I mean, what a sensational performance he put on last night. It was spectacular. It really, really is. I mean, it actually offset the 30 on 11 for 19 shooting that Devin Booker put up. I mean, Devin Booker came in there when CP3 went to the bench, took his turn, made three straight threes, and that was that. But Chris Paul, the way he manipulates a game, the pace of a game, whoever it is that's defending him, it's something to behold. And to him, and Wendy will appreciate and smile with what I'm about to say. When he looked over at the bench and he was staring down the Tim Hardaways of the world, the Lucas of the world who ultimately went to the bench, the Jason Kidds of the world and others, okay? It reminded me of years ago when Byron Scott was coaching Chris Paul. And Byron Scott felt like he had gotten screwed over by Jason Kidd. And Chris Paul, the player, had to go against Jason Kidd, the Hall of Fame point guard. And I mean that particular, because I love me some Jason Kidd as a coach and as a player, okay? But that particular series, CP3 destroyed them and was screaming, he can't guard me. This is years ago. Remember that, Wendy? It was years ago. That's not something that CP3 does. But he did it, and it was like, damn, this is a Hall of Fame point guard here, and CP3 is showing no respect whatsoever. But it was really him coming to the defense of Byron Scott at the time. We fast forward to last night, and everybody's raving about Luka because he had 24 in the first half, and we know what Luka can do. You know what CP3 said? Y'all forgetting something. He can't guard. And what we're going to do is I'm going to put him in pick and roll situations where I got Luka on me. They were picking on Luka Doncic. That's what the Phoenix Suns were doing. They were saying, "Let who he guarding?" And he had the nerve to be on CPC, be like, let me show y'all what I'm going to do to this brother. And as great as Luka is, and my God, he is a great offensive player. He is a great offensive player. He ain't nothing close to great or good defensively. That's an element of his game that even Jason Kidd knows he's got to work on. And CP3 abused him and abused the Dallas Mavericks and looked over at their bench and was like, the hell y'all, did y'all remember? Did y'all forget who the hell you dealing with? And I mean everything. Pull up jumpers, spin moves, dribble drive penetration. I mean, this brother is going to be 37 years of age this Friday. And he is the greatest pure point guard on the planet right now. At age 36, 37, I would advise all NBA players that are having some kind of trouble with their conditioning, I would advise all of them to find out what the hell is going on with CP3. What he's eating, what he's drinking, you know, what his rest is like, whatever. Whatever the hell it is he's doing, duplicate it. Because this brother right here at age 37 is not supposed to be doing what he is doing. But he is doing it, and as much as I love Luka, let me tell y'all something. Luka got exposed big time last night because CP3 just put on a show.
So, Stephen A., I've been around the Suns a lot this season. I've gotten to watch them up close. The focus level that they have right now, it's comparable to me to the Spurs in 2014 after they lost that title.
They lost
and that team was just a killer from day one. When CP3 wakes up in the morning of a game, everything that he does is designed to maximize what he's going to do in the fourth quarter of that game. And you should see him. We should isolate a camera on him at the end of a third quarter. He's like a boxer coming out of the corner. He sits on the last seat in the bench. He's all wrapped up in towels. Fourth quarter comes. He pulls the towels off. He drinks whatever shake or protein or whatever he's got in that thermos. He's not letting anybody see. His team's already huddled up. He peels himself off. He throws his shoulders back like a boxer getting ready to finish the 12th round. every step he takes during the game, he conserves energy. He, you know, they don't have him bring the ball up as much. And to all pour it into the fourth quarter. And the fourth quarter comes, and they have their little package of plays. Monty Williams has this awesome orange card that has all these plays on it. He doesn't even have to call them. It's Chris out there directing the traffic. And the same inverse applies to what they do to Luka. The moment Luka steps on the court, their game plan is to tire him out. They run him through screens. Who's ever on him, they run him around. Their entire goal is to have Chris Paul at maximum killer level in the fourth quarter and have Luka run out of energy. And Luka kind of plays to it, because as great as Luka is and as great as his size is, Chris Paul is better conditioned and Chris Paul has better strategy. And head to head, Luka would kill Chris. But strategy and conditioning, Chris beats him. That's what's happening.
Well, here's where you and I disagree, Wendy. You're not wrong in anything that you're saying theoretically and essentially in practice in most situations. I'm not trying to question anything that you're saying. But there do come moments where you just got your ass kicked. It's just that simple. Ain't nothing else to it. You understand? There's nothing else to it. It's like if you step into a boxing ring, I never forget years ago when Felix Trinidad fought against William Joppy for the middleweight crown, and William Joppy was talking smack, right? And Trinidad caught him with a left hook in the first round. And guess what? He proceeded to whip his living you-know-what until the fifth round, until he was ultimately out on his face and falling out, and the referee had to stop the fight. Now, you can talk strategy. But there are times when you just get your ass kicked. And that's what happened last night to Luka Doncic. Now, I love Luka. Luka's a star, and Luka is somebody. He just got to work on his defense because he's not a great defender, and the Dallas Mavericks have got to help him by getting help. Spencer Dinwiddie, as much as listen, they won that trade by a mile. Props to Jason Kidd, Nico Harrison, the job they're doing, getting Spencer Dinwiddie in place of Kristaps Porzingis. I mean, they won that deal by a mile. You understand? But Spencer Dinwiddie, you got to hold up your end of the bargain, which he did in the regular season, okay? And we appreciate that. But now you are against the Phoenix Suns. Spencer Dinwiddie coming off the bench, shooting 3 of 10 with 11 points. Yo, bro, that ain't why you here in the Big D. You there to help Luka. You got to do more. There's no question he needs help. But that don't take away from how Luka got abused. That wasn't about no damn conditioning, bro. That was about a professor literally taking you by the hand and escorting you to class and saying, yo, now it's time. Let me show you what this is. They ain't about conditioning. They ain't about fatigue. They ain't about some protein drink or whatever. CP3 had. I mean, I understand you got to have energy. Please don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying that was about, yo, I understand who you are, but let me show you who I am. And that's what he did. I don't give a damn about all that other stuff off of what happened in the fourth quarter last night. That wasn't about fatigue. That was about you getting it taken to you. That's what that was about.
Speaking of fatigue, can I transition? Is that okay with everybody? All right. Sure. We were concerned about that with Kyrie Irving. So after the Nets, who are preseason favorites to win the title, were swept in the first round, Kyrie faced a lot of criticism, addressing the season as a whole yesterday with Eddie Gonzalez on the Boardroom's The Etcetera's podcast. Irving said while New York City's strict vaccine mandate surprised him, and while he understands he let people down, he still believes his refusal to get the vaccine was the right decision. Irving at one point also described himself as a martyr, having suffered for a greater cause. Listen to yourself.
I was not expecting, you know, a mandate to be brought down in a way that it wasn't going to allow me to play at all. Like, you know, I had the opportunity to play away games still, but there was no plan in place. There was no vision of, like, how it's going to work for our team. And I think that really impacted not just me, but a lot of people. Yeah. So, you know, just had to sit in that hot seat for a little bit and deal with it, man. Life of a martyr, bro.
Stephen A., what's your reaction to Kyrie and the life of a martyr?
So we just going to ignore Wendy? Now, put me up on the split screen because I want to see Wendy. We just going to ignore that last line, life of a martyr. Molly, you sit next to me every day doing this show. When I first went off about Kyrie Irving, what did I say he was looking at himself as? Remember when everybody was going off for me? Oh, come on, Stephen A. Come on, Stephen. When I sat up there, like he want to act like he a martyr. Remember that?
You did.
Everybody said, oh, Stephen A. Come on, Stephen A. You see what I'm saying? You see, I told y'all. I told y'all. I just keep telling people, Whitney. So you got people that could come, you know, useless individuals that want to call me names and all of that other stuff, had their entire careers to be relevant, all right? But then they want to try to act like they relevant now that they ain't playing no more. They know who they are. I ain't going to even say their name. They ain't even worth it, okay? Instead, I'll go back to Kyrie Irving. We all know all those details. Who was Kyrie Irving, the only member of the Brooklyn Nets who was surprised by the mandate? Was he the only member of the Brooklyn Nets who didn't know? And then when New York City slapped the mandate, it threw everybody for a loop? Last time I checked, that was everybody on the Brooklyn Nets. The owner didn't know. The GM John Marks didn't know. Coach Steve Nash didn't know. The players didn't know. But once it happened, everybody had to make a decision. Every single person on the team made the decision. We trying to win the chip. We hate having to do this. They didn't want to do it. A lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them didn't want to do it, from what I was told. But they made the decision because we trying to win the chip. And the dude responsible for coaxing everybody to come there said, nah, y'all on y'all own. That's the dude calling himself a martyr. You see what I'm saying? It's like, it's just absolutely amazing. Don't you see how relaxed he is? I mean, listen, let's give credit where credit is due. First of all, let me not insult Kyrie Irving. Let me give him props. What a brilliant businessman. I mean, who could pull it off? I mean, it's time that we said, I've been looking at this all wrong. I need to apologize, Wendy. I need to apologize, Molly. It's my bad. I need to apologize because I have missed it. The businessman that me, you, and everybody else, Wendy, aspires to be, Kyrie pulled off. I mean, how many people can get over $30 million a year for doing your job a quarter of the time? For getting off most of the year. You missed 53 games. You got bounced out in the first round. The playoffs are going on now. You home watching. After refusing to get vaccinated and as a result missing games and all of this other stuff. You see how comfortable that brother looked? I mean, damn. I didn't look that comfortable when I was in the islands for vacation. I mean, this brother's chilling. I mean, I got to... I'm sorry. I want to apologize to everybody. I mean, damn. Rather than hate on the brother because that spectacular talent that he is, sensational, superstar talent, box office, you walk through the turnstiles to see this brother play. That's how magnificent of a gift he has. And that gift, he doesn't believe he has any obligation whatsoever to show up to work and put those skills on display for the paying customer at least 65% of the time. And there he's chilling and relaxed as ever, cooling out. He got something on all of us. My apologies, Wendy. He got something on all of us. He don't have to show up to work. He can pass up. He's still getting, and it's still getting paid. He got all of us beat. Congratulations to the martyr. The martyr. By the way, when people, he spoke out initially when people lost their jobs in New York City, but was he out there protesting for them to get their jobs back? Was he out there making noise after every game about how unfair it was that the city of New York was doing what they did to police officers and firefighters and medical professionals that lost their jobs? Because he was supposed to be giving a voice to the voiceless. Y'all remember that? Did you hear that voice? I didn't hear it. Maybe I missed it. My bad, Wendy. I apologize. Kyrie got something on all of us, y'all. The brother brilliant. Getting paid for not working.
What is the bedrock? Damn. What is the bedrock issue that you, the bedrock issue between you and Kyrie is that Kyrie, at the end of the day, I think wants sympathy for his situation, and you are giving him the opposite of that, which is zero sympathy. And this discussion, and I'm going to tell you right now, having covered Kyrie since he came into the league in 2011. When you try to play psychiatrist with Kyrie, you end up, it ends up really getting complicated.
No, no. You'll end up needing a psychiatrist. You'll end up needing a psychiatrist. Go ahead.
You're right. You're right. You're right. On the basic level, he would like to be a sympathetic figure. He would like to say that he didn't deliver on the court in various ways, and so he's a sympathetic figure. That's, he uses the word martyr. That's the bedrock concept of a sympathetic figure. Something else he said in this interview, Stephen A., that I thought was fascinating. He talked about how when he was in seventh grade, he was used to being ostracized, because when he was in seventh grade, the kids thought he was a weirdo, and they made him eat by himself. Now, I wasn't there. I have no idea. But again, him discussing that, which, by the way, that's a, you know, I know that if I had that happen to me, I would, it would hurt me for a long time. The fact he's still bringing up seventh grade, you know, just bring that layer back.
Yeah, all
but again, he's looking for sympathy.
That's legit. That's legit.
He's looking for sympathy. And wait, you are absolutely unwilling and unrelenting to give it to him. And that is why the two of you will never, ever get on the same plane.
He wants to have
a soft ear, and you do not have that.
Stephen A., can I ask one question to Wendy, since you've covered him since quite a bit, since 2011? I want to ask this because I never want to judge people, and I'm not close to the situations like you guys are and have the relationships with players. But is there a lack of self-awareness here? Because, of course, I respect people and their faith and their spiritual journey, but I know what a martyr is.
Go ahead, Wendy.
Kyrie is one of the most fascinating people I've ever covered. I've talked about this in the past. I went with him to the reservation in North Dakota when he made the year of hundreds of young Native American kids who he spent time with them and shook their hands. The person who would do that, and then the person who makes some of these other decisions, I can't square it. I can't quite figure it out. I also know that if you take all of that away, if you take away what he says politically, when you get him on the basketball court, that like two out of every five games, he's absolutely incandescent. And that is what the fans who he has, and my gosh, does he have fans who love him. Those two out of five games, they are absolutely mesmerized by what he can do. And other players are like, oh my God, I'm a professional basketball player too. I played basketball all my life, and I can't approach this mastery. But two out of five games he does that. One or two out of those games he doesn't play, and the other game he doesn't deliver. And you can't have this sort of influence on basketball or society when you can only deliver two out of every five games, whether it's your availability or your interest or your execution. Well, and that is a fact that all this he can't get over. Forget about what else he says off the court.
Here's what you didn't allude to. I'm going to say it. And when I say it, you absolutely know I'm right with what I'm about to say. NBA players marvel at the greatness of Kyrie Irving. I marvel at the greatness of Kyrie Irving. I think he's one of the most spectacular talents that I've ever seen in my life. He's that special. And I think that he's worthy of walking through the turnstiles to see. That's why I say he's worth $50 million a year, because he's going to fill up arenas because you want to go and see his talents. You know why Kyrie Irving has a problem filling up arenas? Because you don't know if he's going to show up on the team bus. You literally got to look at the tunnel. You're looking at the camera and you hoping that the team bus rolls up into the loading dock area where the players enter, and that Kyrie Irving is going to come off that bus, because you don't know. And that's his MO. And the point is that because you marvel at his skill set and marvel at his ability, because he prides himself in being an intellectual, a deep thinker, somebody that extends far beyond the realms of basketball, the fact that you marvel at his skill set actually to some degree offends him, because he's like, I'm so much more than that. And all you want to do is see me play, not recognizing, did anybody want to see you play before you went to Duke? Did anybody want to see you play before you signed up to be an NBA player and you were the number one overall black draft pick? When you went to Cleveland, you were the number one overall pick and you played for 3 years. And what I religiously pointed out is that they actually improved every year. under Kyrie Irving before LeBron arrived. LeBron was willing to come back to Cleveland. He could talk all that nonsense all he wants to about I just had to come back to Cleveland. It's not nonsense that he wanted to come back to Cleveland and deliver a chip. But we all know that it helped that Kyrie was on that roster and that you knew you had a shot to get Kevin Love, because if Kyrie wasn't there, you had no shot to get Kevin Love. You ain't leaving South Beach to go back to Lake Erie. We understand how profound of an impact Kyrie Irving has. The problem is Kyrie Irving is offended that you're looking at him for having that impact as a basketball player, because he wants to be seen as more than that, even though he's the one that signed up to put his talents on display for all of us to marvel at. And then when we called him accountable for it, how dare us? How dare us? He talks about a martyr. What does it like? He's talking about, you know, to give a voice to the voices. Well, when you've been speaking? We got people that are still unemployed in New York City because of the mandate. If you really, really wanted to make some noise, you would have said, hell with that. I don't give a damn that I could come back. I'm going to stand with them. You ain't doing that. You chilling. Where you at? There's still people that's unemployed. There's still people that ain't getting paid. There's still people that are being victimized by the mandate that was handed down by the city of New York. And where are you? In Jersey or some other place, chilling. And when somebody calls you accountable for it, your response is you a martyr. This brother is, he really is on another level. How, take that whatever way you want to. He's in a stratosphere none of us are in.
All right.
Because how dare us call him and say, we want to see you play.
We're out of time.
We want to see you play.
But we know no one puts on a better show when he's locked in. And, I want to applaud. I like that story you said that he does have a philanthropic heart. But yeah,
he does.
Yes.
He does. He's very good.
And I want to give him props on that as well.
Absolutely true.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits, like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C.
D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
The Lakers had one of their worst seasons ever. The preseason favorite to win the West in L.A. didn't even make the playoffs. Well, yesterday, Stephen A. offered a solution and ruffled some feathers in the process per usual, suggesting the purple and gold should trade one of their big three, and it wasn't Russell Westbrook or Anthony Davis. Take a listen to who should be taking their talents elsewhere.
I want to announce to the American public that I think the Los Angeles Lakers should strongly consider trading LeBron James. The Los Angeles Lakers, as presently constructed, are going nowhere. He's the only person that has extreme value. You the Lakers, where you going? You got nothing.
Brian Windhorst, you didn't know you were facing all the hot takes today on First Take, but you are, sir. Ready to go. Let's get it. You covered Kyrie for a long time. Guess what? You covered LeBron James even longer, I think since high school, if I'm correct here. Wendy, do you think the Lakers should consider this, moving on from LeBron?
You know, you're asking a very simple question. I can't give that a simple answer. No would be sort of where I'd start, because he's still one of the best players in the league, and he's the reason why they have the title. And any chance of winning a title in the next couple of years hinges on him. But I think we are coming to a pinch point this season that I'm not sure everybody totally gets, and that is that I believe it's the first week of August. LeBron is eligible to sign a contract extension. And it only makes sense to me that the Lakers would come to him and offer it to him. And that is a huge moment for this, for basically the rest of LeBron's career and the short term of the Lakers. Whether they offer it to him, whether he accepts it, whether the coach that they hire and the offseason moves that they make him comfortable. But I think there's two things I have to say that are very important here. The first is that LeBron wants to be a Laker. And, you know, regardless of what he may have said in moments of frustration last year, and regardless of his concept of playing with his son or someday retiring a Cavalier or whatever, LeBron wants to be a Laker. He wants to live in Los Angeles. He loves living in Los Angeles. His son, Bronny, is a senior at Sierra Canyon in the Valley this year. He wants to be able to take part and enjoy his senior season. He still believes he can take the Lakers to heights. He wants to be a Laker. The second thing is that while it would be fun and is fun, and we will probably have these conversations now or later to talk about what team could want to trade for LeBron, LeBron isn't getting traded to a team unless LeBron deems it so. I know he's under contract. He doesn't have a no-trade clause, and they could trade him anywhere. And he, by the terms of his contract, he could have to go. But you can't do that to a player of this ilk. You can't do that to a player of his stature and status. So it's I don't see the fertile ground for that, although Stephen A's points that he made yesterday, and I'm sure he's about to make now, about where the Lakers are as a team with LeBron, those are all still valid. But you have the fact of LeBron's, you know, persona and control of this situation, that can't be ignored, Stephen A.
You know, I'm one of those guys that the hardest part about sitting in this chair, Wendy, and I'm not saying that you just did it because you did not. You know, I get misquoted and taken out of context all the time. I have no problem.
You get lied
with
about
anybody. Well, I get lied about every day, and that's fine. And, you know, those people know they know what they can kiss. I mean, I could care less. They lie on me every day, but that's fine. That's fine. That comes with the territory. They lie on They lie on you too. But anyway, here's the deal. The thing about it, Wendy, is that I'm talking about LeBron James. I am in no way throwing any kind of shade on him. I'm paying tribute to his greatness. He is 37. He just finished his 19th season in the NBA, averaging 30. And he's the only commodity the Los Angeles Lakers have. I would remind everybody that even though in large part it was due to the injuries by Anthony Davis, because if Anthony Davis was healthy, there's no way in hell that I believe the Lakers would have missed the playoffs. That is true. But we have seen enough over the career of Anthony Davis, because you know this better than me, because I no longer have to be the insider that I once was. I get a lot of calls and I get a lot of information, but you and Woj and others, y'all live doing this stuff every day. Thank God I don't got to do that anymore. It was very stressful, very stressful. You know, it's bad for the pores when you're stressed. Anyway, my point to you, Wendy, is this. You know as well as I do, the Lakers can't get anything close to equitable compensation for the talent that is Anthony Davis because of the injury-prone tendencies of Anthony Davis. So you scratch that out. Russell Westbrook, no disrespect to him. I believe he will resurrect himself next season. But he had a bad year this year, the worst year of his career. He's approaching the last year of a deal that's paying him $47 million. And plus, they got the backdrop of these press conferences where he's talking about he's going to be just fine, even if they don't win. And he's seen plenty of champions that are less happier in life than him. And he came to the Lakers and he didn't have any expectations, although he's playing for a franchise that has nothing but championship expectations. And then he shows up at the Met Gala the other day, because I want everybody to know Russell Westbrook's got a clothing line. That's why he was there. The point is, I wish he would have told everybody that, because that's why people would know he's at the Met Gala instead of looking at him smiling and chilling and dressed in his outfit and all of this other stuff when the Lakers are home and y'all ain't playing. Because you got a whole bunch of Laker fans in L.A. like, damn it, I don't feel this way. I understand what he's doing. But you got a lot of critics that's like, what the hell he doing? I mean, they lost. Why do we see him smiling right now? So you got all of that going on. That's the backdrop of LeBron. So if you're the Los Angeles Lakers and you don't want to replicate what happened in the twilight years of Kobe Bryant, the basketball player, of course, God rest his soul, he's not here any longer, but the basketball career, when they were missing the playoffs those last 5 years or so, if you want to avoid replicating that, what do you do? Who's the one piece that you have that everybody in the league will call and say, what you want? What we got to give you for it? What you looking for? Who's the one person that has a shot of allowing the Lakers to receive phone calls of that nature? That's LeBron James. Of course we know if he wants to stay, they ain't going to do it. Of course we know, okay, he's LeBron. He's too powerful. You can't just dismiss him and trade him somewhere he wants to go. He doesn't want to go. We know that. But if for any kind of reason whatsoever, he decides that this situation ain't ideal and the Lakers were willing to say, we willing to move this brother, you got to take Anthony Davis or Russell Westbrook with him now. Who wouldn't call them to get LeBron James considering the money he would generate for the franchise and what he would do to their stature?
Okay.